All About the G is brought to you by Pete's Cold Brew, proud partner of St. Mary's College Athletics. It's time for intercollegiate sports at St. Mary's again as we take a look at the men's soccer team, who's off to a school record 7-0 start and ranking the top 10 in the nation in total goals, shutout percentage, and save percentage. Head coach Adam Cooper and juniors Remy Prier and Anders Engebretsen join me to talk about the men's soccer season in 2018. First, All About the G podcast of the 2018-2019 season, and we're talking men's soccer today on this. Well, I guess it's still technically summer, right? I mean, when does fall start? Like the 22nd or something like that. But you guys are a fall sport, so we're talking fall sports, men's soccer here in All About the G. Head coach Adam Cooper, goalkeeper Remy Prier, redshirt junior, local guy from San Ramon, and all the way from Norway. Midfielder forward Anders Engebretsen. I got that right, right?
Yeah,
it was the good. Junior. All right, fantastic. All right, well, let's kick it off right. A 7-0 start. That's the best start in program history. Five shutouts so far for yourself, Remy, and I guess for your club, Adam. But, Coach, I mean, let's start off with you. What's impressed you so far the most about this team? I know you had a solid core coming back from a year ago. Just one senior, though, but what's been the most impressive aspect of these guys?
Pretty simple. There's nothing special. They just put their nose down and grind and work hard, and everybody's on the same page. Everybody wants to win. Everybody has the same goals. They all came in fit and ready to go. So it's nice to have experience from last year, and some of these guys the last 2 years have gotten a lot of experience. You know, a lot of them as freshmen played a lot of minutes, and so they've had 2 years of experience. But at the end of the day, there's no magic to what we're doing. It's these guys just come in and they work hard every day. They grind away. They're great students. They take care of their bodies. They do what they're supposed to do. And, you know, right now they're just finding ways to be successful on the field.
For you guys, what's the key to the hot start this year? I mean, is there anything from the last two seasons maybe that carried over into this year, any type of momentum? What's been the key? Remy, we'll start with you.
I think that the whole core group of guys, I think we all get along. There's no, like, bad blood towards anybody. Everybody just kind of mingles with each other. There's no like groups or anything. Everybody kind of just does everything together. So I think as like the first point is pretty much we all do everything together, so that kind of helps us on the field.
Yeah, to add to that, I feel like on the pitch, it translates to the pitch. We have more like fluency. We know each other better. And this season, our defense has been really strong, and that made like the attackers to like focus more on the attack and have more fluency. And I mean, that's been reaping rewards so far.
Being veterans on this team, I mean, what is the best start? I know it's not, you know, your main goal, but at this point, what is the best start in program history mean to you guys?
I mean, it's cool to like achieve that, but that's not like our main goal this season. So hopefully we can just keep going, and yeah. It's not like it matters that much, but it's a cool award like on the way, I feel like.
Yeah, and after being right around 500 the last three seasons, and, you know, in your first three seasons, Remy, I know you had the red shirt your first year here, but this is the first time in program history you've also won 6-plus games in a row. So that's got to feel pretty special.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah. Like Anders was saying, the 7-0 start really doesn't mean anything in the long run. It's really how we move on from this point. Like the 7-0 is not going to win us the WCC. It's not going to get us into the NC2A tournament. It's going to be how we move forward and continuing to strive to be the better team on and off the pitch.
Coach, from your perspective, I'm sure we could probably say the same thing about the rankings that have come in, you know, just this week. Number 21 in top drawer soccer, according to UnitedSoccerCoaches.org, number 17. Do you focus at all on that stuff? I'm sure it helps with recruiting and so on and so forth. But in terms of these guys, I mean, what does that mean for these guys? And also, where is the focus when it comes to rankings and, you know, kind of the buzz about St. Mary's soccer outside of the program?
You know, you're mixed about it. I'm very proud of that accomplishment so far. I think it shows a lot of the character of these guys and what we've been able to do so far. But at the end of the day, I think Anders and Remy are right. That's not our end goal. At the end of the day, it doesn't mean anything. It's great publicity.
It's good for guys like helps. Me to talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. It's great for us. You know, these guys deserve the recognition that they're getting right now, but they also know what their goals are. We know as a program where we want to be and where we want to go. So, you know, like I said, I'm proud of them. I'm excited for them. I'm happy that they're getting recognized, but that's not our goal at all. We know where we want to be at the end of the season, and that's winning the conference and going to the NCAA tournament.
With four more non-conference games, what have you learned about this team so far? What are your general impression of these guys? And, you know, I'm, like you said, already having a core coming back, you probably had a pretty good idea, but through the first seven games, what's your general impression of these guys, and what is the ceiling for this club?
You know, they're resilient, they're tough, they're fantastic people just to be around. They work hard. Like you said, they're a close-knit group. I think our staff is close with them. You know, and that all gels when you're like that on the field and off the field. It reaps rewards, as Andre said. You know, so those are the best qualities. They just work hard. I mean, they're blue collar, on and off the field. Like, our GPA is over a 3.3 right, you know, last year. You know, that translates onto the field as well. So, like I said, I'm proud of them, but, you know, we know what our goals are and where we want to be.
3.3 GPA with one guy majoring in economics with a minor in math. That's pretty good, right? I mean, that's...
We've got a couple very intelligent guys on this team with some pretty impressive majors and some very high GPAs. And a couple guys that need to kind of catch up.
Every team's got them, right? If you guys had to put a letter grade on the first, you know, month plus of your practice and games, what would you say for your team so far?
Out of the first month, I think I would put it at like a B plus, just because I know that there's more we can do in the games. It obviously wasn't perfect. We need to come together and like put together a full 90 minutes as an entire team, without like any mental lapses or anything. No dumb mistakes that'll cost us games or goals, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I would be between B plus, A minus. We, at some point, we were like the highest scoring. I think we might be the highest scoring team in the country still, but also like the second in least goals against. But now we're not that anymore, though. But so before the Riverside game, I thought we were like up at like A minus, but that was a little bit disappointing. Even though we won, I mean.
Right. Yeah, that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah. But like, the performance wasn't that good, and that, like, yeah, I would say B plus.
That's got to make you happy as a coach, knowing that you haven't lost a game yet, and you got a couple of veterans here that think there's still room for improvement.
Yeah, the best teams are the ones where the players govern themselves and are motivated themselves, and the coach doesn't really have to do it. You know, and that's what I'm fortunate right now. These guys are doing a great job leading. They're doing a great job leading the younger guys and educating the younger guys, and they need to be hard on themselves. If they want to reach their goals, if we as a program and as a school want to reach our goals, we have to be hard. We have to be demanding of ourselves. We have to hold each other accountable. And that's what they're doing. And so, you know, as a coach, it makes my job a little bit easier to manage them because they're doing it themselves. And the best teams I've ever been around have always managed themselves.
So far, give me an area of whether it's defensively, offensively, whatever the case may be. An area of the team that surprised you in a positive way, and an area where you think, hey, maybe we need to tighten this area up a little bit more before we head into conference play.
I do think it's a little surprising all the goals we've scored this year. You know,
first in total goals in the country.
Yeah. You know, I thought we were pretty explosive offensively, but I didn't think we were that explosive offensively. You know, so that's been a nice surprise, a very pleasant surprise. At the end of the day, I don't know if it's one or two, you know, things that have been surprising. I think the biggest thing to me is everybody is doing their role that they're supposed to do, and everybody's bought in. At the end of the day, everybody wants to win a game. So some guys, you know, you got to make up for other guys when a mistake happens, and they're doing that. There's no questions asked. Everybody's just doing what they have to do in order to get the result, and that's the important thing.
Let's get the player's perspective on that.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think we have some new guys in defense, and they surprised me positively a lot. They show them, like, maturity, even though they have no experience from college soccer before, and been a vital part for like keeping clean sheets in the games so far. Attacking wise, we have like the same group of players pretty much as we had like the previous years. So we have no we know each other good and know how to play with each other. So I think that's mostly the key for that.
Remy?
Yeah, just going off what they said. It's pretty much everybody knows they have a role, and if everybody is, like Coop said, if everybody's bought in and everybody wants to win, then we're going to have that drive, just the tunnel vision to do whatever we can to win, and that's going to help us win a lot of soccer games this year.
A couple of themes keep coming up with you guys, and one of those is chemistry and kind of the fact that you've played together, this core has played together now for a couple of years. You know, for people that may not be as familiar with soccer as you guys are, how important is that to building a successful team?
Yeah, it makes a big difference. Again, on and off the field. You know, on the field, when you play with somebody for a while, you know where they want the ball, what their tendencies are when they want the ball or when they get the ball, what they're going to do, what their movement's like. You kind of get to know a lot of these things, and it makes it that much easier to play. And then off the field, as Remy said, the more you get along, the more you gel, the more you hang out, the more fun you sure. have, and that translates for sure onto the field as well.
You guys agree? I mean, anything to add to that?
Yeah, I mean, like, when you know, like, the players you play with, you like, know where you should cross it because you know where they're going to run, or if you see, like, a midfielder have the ball, you know if you should take that run or not take that run. Like, it's just easy if things like that to make the whole thing better.
All right, I'll direct this question to you guys. Going from last year to this year, what are the biggest improvements you've seen with this group of guys?
I think we've definitely had specific people step up. We lost a couple key guys from last season coming into this season. And I think especially the freshmen that are coming in, they definitely came in and filled in their spots and performed over the top in my eyes.
Good to have a good group of newcomers, right, to add into that core.
Yeah, I agree on that. I think everyone is playing up to their potential or even above. And sure. At earlier years, we might not have been quite up there on a consistent basis. So I think that's also been important.
All cold brews are not created equal. Pete's is brewed cold and meant to stay that way. We never overheat it or add ingredients to make it shelf stable. Always cold means it's always fresh. Cold is our only preservative. Pete's Cold Brew. The difference is true. Follow us on Twitter at @SMC_allaboutTheG. You can get show information or submit feedback or a question or topic to be discussed on a future episode. That's SMC_allaboutTheG on Twitter, or send us an email at allaboutthegales@gmail.com. Yeah, one more win and you reach your total from last year. Coach, anything to add, biggest improvements as a group from last year into this season?
Consistency overall. And I think that's part of maturing for all these guys and part of playing a lot of games, and that experience in college athletics goes a long way. I think the young guys have come in and done a phenomenal job, but I also think the old guys have done a great job of educating them and also just being consistent day in and day out from every training session, not just games, but in trainings. They're consistent, they're motivated, they're focused, they're doing the right things on a daily basis.
Okay, with four more non-conference games heading into the West Coast, we know the West Coast Conference has been a strong men's soccer conference, especially over the last few years, multi-bid league in each of the last couple of years, two bids in 2017, two bids in 2016. So in building this non-conference schedule, what were you looking to gain out of it heading into kind of the gauntlet that is the West Coast Conference?
Whenever we're doing our non-conference schedule, it's to prepare us for conference and to prepare us for the NCAA tournament. You look at these next four games coming up, Santa Barbara at home, former national champion.
Right.
We've played them the last 2 years down at their place. It's nice to get them at home. But that's a phenomenal game. They're great in the Big West. They've been a super successful program. UC Davis right now hasn't lost in over a year. I mean, they've been just about on fire, and they're number 13 in the country right now. At New Mexico, one of the most successful programs in college soccer over the last 5 to 10 seasons. That's a great challenge for us to go on the road, and that's all of them are NCAA tournament games, but in the NCAA tournament, you've got to be able to go on the road and win a game in a one-off and come home and do it again, and that's what we do at New Mexico. And then you got Irvine coming in that's having a terrific year. And they're very talented. So these next four games are brutal, and that's great. We need that. You know, we need that test, as we all do, and that'll, at the end of the day, it's hopefully to prepare us for the West Coast Conference and do well.
Well, that's not even taking into consideration, these don't go on your record, but exhibitions against Stanford, mm-hmm. three-time defending champion, and Cal. I mean, that I would think playing against that high of a level of competition, even though it doesn't go on your record, that helps prepare these guys as well.
No matter what, I don't care what goes on the record and what doesn't go on the record. They all count. They all matter. As does every, same with spring season, right? In spring, that doesn't matter for your season on the record, but it matters. At the end of the day, it's all about getting better on a daily basis.
Fellas, you've been through the West Coast Conference now a couple years. Listen, it's a deep league. Pacific, USF has had some success. San Diego. What makes this conference so tough?
I think, conference play is obviously very different in comparison to the non-conference games. Specifically in our conference, I don't think there's one team that you can count out for being contenders for winning the championship. Every game is just a grind, and it's brutal, and it's tough, and it just pushing through those. It just shows whoever gets it how hard they fight and how much they want it.
I didn't even mention Portland, who's ranked in both polls as well. I mean, Andre, same thing. I mean, you look at the results of the NCAA tournament the last, man, 7 or 8 years, and it seems like every year it's not just one team coming out of the WCC. Not only is it multiple teams, but it seems like it's different teams. Like there's 7 or 8 teams that have made the NCAA tournament over the past decade or so.
Yeah, I mean, in the WCC, you can't drop. You can maybe drop one game, but not more. Then it makes it so hard. So if you screw up one game, you pretty much have to rely on other people to lose too. And therefore, the pre-conference games are pretty important to get like a second chance to get in the tournament through rankings. And that's like Portland. No, Pacific last year, they came mm-hmm. through on ranking. And this year, we play Portland last game at Portland when we played that 2 years ago and lost the conference final. So hopefully that will be a good game to revenge that.
And certainly the hope is that game will mean something at the end of the year, right, Coach? I mean, that sounds pretty accurate. In the preseason poll, I think it was 4 teams got a vote for first place. Is that the WCC's best strength, is its depth?
Yes, the WCC is brutal because we're one of the few conferences in the country that doesn't have a conference tournament. So we play 7 conference games, and as Andre said, your margin for error is almost zero. Right. You know, you drop a game and you're in trouble. So you always want to be able to control your own destiny, and so that's why every game is that important. Every minute is that important. You know, and there's so much parity in our conference. Any given year, anybody can beat anybody. It doesn't matter. So. Yeah, our conference is brutal with only 7 games and no conference tournament. You got to be perfect in all of them.
7 games? No, is that something that may change in the next few years? Adding a conference tournament to the WCC?
Oh, I don't want to give away anything. You're opening up Pandora's box right there with our coaches' meetings. You know, when I first got to St. Mary's, we played a single round robin a long time ago. Then we moved to a double round robin where it was 12 conference games because Pacific wasn't in the conference yet.
Right.
Once Pacific joined the conference, we didn't want 14 games, so we went back to a single round robin. You know, conference tournament costs money, so it's always a debate and a topic of discussion in our coaches' meetings. But right now it's 7 games, and that's it. So, you know, you can't drop points.
In Adam Cooper's perfect world, is there a conference tournament? You don't have to.
What day is it? What day is it today? Today ended why? Ideally, yes. I think in the long run, the positives outweigh the negatives of a conference tournament. I think it's a great student athlete experience to have a conference tournament. I think it's more consistent with the rest of the country as well. There's only a few conferences that don't have conference tournaments. Us, the Ivy Leagues, the Pac-12, pretty much everybody else does. So I think overall the positives outweigh, there's definitely the negative side to it, but I think the positives outweigh the negatives.
It's interesting you mentioned the Pac-12 and the Ivy League because both of those leagues, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, pretty strong men's soccer leagues. Mm-hmm. I think the Ivy sent a couple teams to the tournament last year. The Pac-12, of course, is the Pac-12. It's just kind of interesting that those are the three leagues with it, and they're all, you know, probably multi-bid leagues.
Yeah, very, all of them. Very good.
Let me see here. Quentin Rios the press conference, obviously, in April, now an honorary member of your team. He's got a locker and a nameplate in your locker room. How did that all come about?
Team Impact contacted our athletic department first, and they reached out to all the coaches and who would be interested in joining this great organization. And right away, I had the opportunity to, you know, I said, yes, absolutely, we'd love to. And, you know, Squishy got matched up with us and vice versa. And so that's basically just how it happened. Team Impact reached out to us, and we jumped at the opportunity.
And just to be clear, Quint Rios is a 7-year-old. He's been battling cancer since he was 3 years old, I believe. Is that correct?
Yeah, he's 8 now. And knock on wood, his last scans have come back very positive. He's the toughest kid I've ever seen. The kid did 87 straight weeks of chemo.
That's his jersey number, right?
That's 87. His jersey number to kind of signify that. But it's a reminder to him of how tough and strong he is. It's a reminder to our guys of, look at this little guy. You guys think you're going through something tough, you know, right now with some tough games and whatever. This doesn't compare to what this kid's gone through in his life.
Yeah, I've seen the pictures, obviously, from the press conference, and it looks, you know, you guys taking the group picture with that. How's that been to have him around this season and with the gear and, you know, his own locker in the locker room? What's that been like for you guys?
He's just an awesome kid. We went and visited him at his house in Oakley, and when we were there, it was to get the new guys to go out and meet him and get a chance to, like, mingle with him. And everybody that was there had a blast. He's always just outgoing. He rides his bike everywhere. He tries to tackle us. He's just awesome.
Where does the nickname Squishy come from? Do you know, Anders? Any idea? I have no idea. I'm asking.
I'm not sure.
That's been pretty cool to have him around this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. He's full of energy, and he just never tires. So he keeps us spirited too. But yeah, he's a great guy. So,
do you know the origin of the nickname?
I actually don't. That's a good question. I've never even asked that question, but I know that, you know, his mom Mary uses the hashtag #SquishOutCancer all the time. I don't know where the actual term Squishy came from, but he's great. Yeah. He's great. Great family. Great young man.
Well, it was. I mean, rightfully so. You had a nice media gathering for that press conference in April last year. I know that was a special day for him.
It was a special
for your program
day.
As well.
I think it was special for everybody. Everyone in attendance felt special. I think Squishy and his family, for sure. I think all these guys, myself. You know, it's just it's a great opportunity. You know, one, to build our family, because he's part of our family now, and so is the rest of his family. But it's just great for everybody. We're, you know, it's good for these guys to learn. These guys are pretty privileged to be able to play college athletics and have an opportunity to go to a great school like St. Mary's College. And Squishy has had a rough time in his young life, being able to just do regular kid things. And so I think it's just a great environment overall, great opportunity for everybody to learn and just be a good person.
You segued perfectly my next question. You guys are from opposite sides of the world, right? Anders from Oslo, Norway, and Remy from San Ramon. What attracted you guys to St. Mary's and choosing to continue your career here?
Well, for me, I was talking to Adam, and when I was a junior in high school, I was getting pretty serious about my decision of going to a D1 school and play soccer and pursue my goal. And the fact that I grew up in San Ramon, my family lived there. Right. But when I thought that it could be awesome to go to a D1 school. That I have a lot of guys that I played in the youth academy with in high school. They were players here as well. So I thought it would be awesome that I could come here and have a chance to play with an awesome group of guys at a great school, both athletically and academically, along with being able to play close to where my family is so they could come watch me play in the season.
Quite the opposite for you, Anders, all the way across the world from
home.
Yeah,
absolutely. So in Norway, it's harder to combine soccer and studies because it's not like integrated into the school. Mm-hmm. So I kind of like had to make a choice to either pursue one of them. But then I had some friends who started playing college soccer. So I got inspired by them and got in contact with an American who played soccer in Norway, which Charlie Campbell, our assistant coach. So he taught, he put me in contact with Charlie and some other schools. But St. Mary's was the first school I came in contact with, and also like seemed best for my like interest. Like I wanted to go to a place where my friends and family in Norway could enjoy visiting, and also I could enjoy staying, and therefore California and San Francisco would be a good choice. I didn't really know that much about the school because it's not like well known like globally and in Norway, but I like it a lot here, so I'm very happy with my decision.
And I'm sure your friends and family have visited in your 3 years here.
Yeah, absolutely. They like it. They love San Francisco. It's a great city to visit. So
international type, I mean, there's plenty to do. And I'm sure having local guys like Remy to kind of show you the ropes and just the things to do, not just, you know, as, you know, in America now, but, I mean, here in the Bay Area, that's probably been nice as well.
Yeah, absolutely. There's plenty of places to visit and explore. So if you have time sometimes, I like to go.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so big game coming up tomorrow, Wednesday at 4 p.m. UC Santa Barbara, Coach, like you said, it's one of the more well-known men's soccer programs based on their success in the last decade. 2004 national championship, I believe, and then making it again to the finals in 2006. Mm-hmm. Hosting a program like Santa Barbara, what does that mean for your program?
That's great. You know, like I said, we want to play the best. We want to get prepared for conference. You know, we went down there 2 years in a row and played two great games. And it's nice to get them back up here. But anytime you can play programs with that kind of storied success is important. You know, it's great for the guys, great for the fans, great for the overall experience. It's good.
Fellas, I mean, being able to host a team like Santa Barbara, you know, who I'm sure, at least Remy, I'm sure you grew up watching, you know, on national TV when you were younger. What's that like?
Well, I just remember vividly their home opener last year when we played them down in Santa Barbara. Ended in 0-0. It was a hell of a game from all of us. Nobody, like, made any mistake, like that many mistakes. It was pretty well-rounded game from a team perspective, grinding out a scoreless draw against a very well-renowned team. And I mean, I expect the same, like fight-wise tomorrow. It's going to be a hell of a battle. It's not going to be easy. They've got some really big guys. And, I mean, I know that we'll be able to push through whatever comes at us and fight out for a good result tomorrow.
Yeah, Anders, I'm sure it gives you a little more energy when the stands are a little bit more full as well.
Yeah, I mean, in general, you want to play the best because that's like the teams you want to match up with. And the next four games will be a great opportunity to test our level with four strong teams. And, I mean, we played a lot of games the last week, so we got to be strong mentally tomorrow and be up for it, because it's definitely going to be a tough match.
Without a doubt. Well, fellas, thanks for the time. I appreciate it. Best of luck tomorrow and for the rest of your season. We'll certainly be keeping an eye, and hopefully, again, we can do this sometime soon.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. So there you have it. Remember, you can get show information or send feedback, questions, or topics to be discussed on air to us via Twitter at AllAboutTheG or email at allaboutthegales@gmail.com. Thanks for listening to this episode of All About the G. I'm Alex Jensen, and I'll see you at the Pavilion.